Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawatakwasin, to all of our relations.
From time to time, no intention is fate to mine. I feel for you, not just for me. My heart beats on. Why can't you see? Steal my thunder, don't break my heart. I'm your mother, hear my beating heart, hear my beating heart. Rape the land, meet your mother. All its oil. Don't steal my thunder. Don't break my heart on your mother. Hear my beating heart. Hear my beating heart.
Music from Oneida singer-songwriter Joanne Shenandoah, from Kenyon Records CD Volume 2, Voices Across the Land. The name of the song was Mother Earth Speaks. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kadishi Native Center. Today's program, we focus on the raping of Mother Earth and oppression of Appalachian communities from the coal mining process known as Mountaintop Removal, MTR. I will be speaking with Mr. Vernon Haltom, a representative of the community organizations Cold River Mountain Watch and Mountain Justice. Vernon and a number of other fellow Appalachian activists are here at the 2006 National Conference of Organized Resistance Gathering, NCORE. They are here in order to present their environmental justice struggle to speak out against having their region become more of a national sacrifice zone from coal mining. Coal mining already has caused tremendous ecological and social impacts to the lands and peoples of Appalachia for many, many years. National Coalition of Organized Resistance is an annual event that brings together activists from a variety of issues, struggles, ideologies, and backgrounds for a weekend of learning and reflecting on the state of progressive movements occurring locally, nationally, and worldwide. Through diverse workshops, panel discussions, skill shares, tabling, and the creation of an open space, NCORE seeks to promote organized action amongst participants against injustices and inequalities that we confront in our daily lives and in the world. NCORE is held on the main campus of American University in Washington, D.C. Yad Kadishi Native Center was honored to be a part of NCORE 2006, networking with many fine groups and individuals committed to working for a better world. NCORE folks share Yad Kadishi Native Center's concern for the protection of Mother Earth and the well-being of all life. Meeting other serious peace, social, economic, and environmental justice activists from across the country is very empowering. What I especially appreciated is the fact that the majority of NCORE participants are youth activists. It gives me great comfort to see the dedication of many young people who fight globalization and carry on the struggles against many injustices in the world. At NCORE, Mountain Justice presented a workshop session that informed participants about the human, environmental, and economic dimensions of mountaintop removal. Yad Kadishi Native Center is dedicated to protecting Mother Earth and the well-being of all life. Since our beginning, Yad Kadishi has been working to defend Mother Earth by fighting energy, environment, and natural resource issues around the globe. We are proud to have been involved in the establishment and leadership of the National Environmental Justice Movement. Yad Kadishi Native Center's Usit Kamu program, which means protecting Mother Earth, continues to be active in the international environmental justice movement. The issues of coal mining and mountaintop removal have long been a major concern of ours. I myself have visited Appalachia several times in order to document and report on the impacts of clear-cutting forests, coal mining, and resultant water pollution and toxic waste from energy development. As most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, I am a professional ecologist with years of field experience in the science of environmental monitoring and impact assessment. I have worked as a forest and land planner, environmental permitting specialist. I understand the development process of the mining industry, having fought against many projects. I am experienced with the interagency administrative regulatory process of government, having studied a number of law and policies such as the National Environmental Policy Act, Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, the National Pollution Discharge System, Mine Land Reclamation Act, National Forest Management Act, etc. I have testified against energy land use plans and permit applications across the country, including mountaintop removal coal mining in Appalachia. One such policy change Yad Kadishi Native Center fought was the Bush administration's rules change to the Clean Water Act, which redefines fill material. Mining companies are now able to dump millions of tons of mountaintop debris into nearby streams, which of course greatly damages aquatic ecosystems. The issues around coal mining Appalachia are very similar to the issues of coal mining in Indian Country, which the Arkadishi Native Center has been fighting against for years. The situation of Big Mountain Black Mesa with the Dene, Navajo, and Hopi, or the mining of Cheyenne and Blackfeet lands, as examples, have many similarities to the cultural, environmental, social, and economic impacts happening to Appalachia and other places in the world. Before we listen to today's program guest, Mr. Vernon Haltom, in program 4 of our very special series, Raping Appalachia Mountain Justice, I want to play a song from a CD he gifted me entitled Moving Mountains, Voices of Appalachia, Rise Up Against Mountaintop Removal Coal Mining. The song is called For Greener Pastures, sung by Glenn Simpson. As you listen to the song, think about the devastating impacts of Appalachian coal mining. The mountaintop removal process begins with clear cutting thousands of acres of some of the world's most biologically diverse temperate hardwood forest. Much of the timber is either burned or buried. Then, tons of explosives are detonated to loosen the rock. Then the topsoil and rubble are dumped into nearby valleys, polluting waterways. Coal companies then extract the coal seams layer by layer, a process that itself emits toxic coal dust into the air and sediment erosion of the scarred surface land. The coal is prepared for market and processing plants that use a mysterious mix of chemicals to remove impurities. The washed out heavy metals and cleaning compounds are stored in multi-billion gallon toxic waste ponds or sludge dams. Many of these dams are placed precariously above homes, communities, and schools. There are a number of examples where these waste dams have leaked, polluting the environment and causing human health problems. Several of these toxic pond dams have even failed, resulting in the deaths of people and killing of fish. Entire valleys and communities have greatly suffered from the pollution, contamination, floods, and sedimentation directly as a result of mountaintop removal. The railroad network of coal trains across the land and despoiling the mountains with no real mine land reclamation add further insult to injury. The land and people's way of life is totally destroyed.
Feel the ground rumbling neath my feet as I am leaving my old home. I'm glad to say that I won't miss the railroad yards or coal mines that blacken up this place I once belonged. The country needs the coal that comes out of the mountains, but they could at least repair what they torn down. Instead they strip for coal and leave the land all bare and ragged, till there's not a sign of life that can be found. I'm looking for a place where it's clean and hardly dirty, a place where I can breathe some clean fresh air. I love the mountains of my home, but they've been mistreated badly, and I wish that more people would care. rolling by, and sleep is almost hopeless when your house is right beside a railroad track. I'm gonna find a little farm somewhere out in the country, and when I do, I won't be coming back. I'm looking for a place where it's clean and hardly dirty, a place where I can breathe some clean, fresh air. And I love the mountains of my home, but they've been mistreated badly, and I wish that more people would care. The trains are rolling by now, I can feel the ground rumbling beneath my feet as I am leaving my old home.
Brennan, in our conversation on mountain justice so far, we've focused a lot on the impacts of mountaintop removal from coal mining companies such as Macy, Arch Coal, and Peabody. I would like our worldwide listeners to hear about the beauty of Appalachia. This region is a unique ecosystem with a special culture. The hardwood forests, home to a biologically diverse community of animals, plants, and aquatic habitats, have been around for a long geologic time. It is, however, as we've talked about, an ecologically fragile landscape that has been seriously damaged by industrial logging and mining. Prior to European settlement, this beautiful mountainous region was home to a number of indigenous peoples. Tribal nations such as the Allegheny, the Tsleil-Waututh Cherokee, Shawnee, and Choctaw, among others, lived in fine village confederacies, sustained by hunting, fishing, farming, and intertribal trading. This mountain region is still sacred to those native descendants, some of whom escaped forced removals or have been able to return to their traditional territories. Many of the current-day families of Appalachia have now been there for many generations. They, too, are rooted to the land, having formed a culture that is special, as are the fauna and flora of the region. Brennan, would you please talk about Appalachia's beautiful nature?
That Appalachia was one of the first places that actually came up above the ground. The Appalachian Mountains are some of the oldest in the world, and like a mother forest for much of North America. Appalachia was not covered by glaciers, at least southern and central Appalachia was not. So after the Ice Age, Appalachia repopulated the rest of North America. We have some very unique plant and animal life. Ginseng, for example, you know, for generations, people have dug ginseng, and it's a second source of income. It's a very valuable plant. In West Virginia, we have a ginseng season. You can only harvest it during certain months, but with mountaintop removal, you can blast it and bury it by hundreds or thousands of acres any time of year. I or you or anyone else, yeah, we would be arrested if we so much as pull one plant.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's black cohosh, blue cohosh, yellow root, mayapple. So many medicinal plants throughout Appalachia that have such a very delicate ecosystem. You have to have the right balance of shade and light, the right amount of water, the right soil pH, the right slope of the mountain. Now, these things will never come back. You know, the understory is totally destroyed and will never come back on mountaintop removal land. Species of animals like the Indiana big-eared bat, some of these that are endangered species, when the coal company does their pre-mining surveys and so forth, if when they find these, they're killed because they don't want anyone to know that they're there. Or if they're really gentle, they'll do their survey when they've migrated and destroy their homes so that they have no place to come back to. There's so many species, so many beautiful plants and animals. When you walk through an undisturbed portion of Appalachia, it's like being in an untouched virgin forest 20,000 years ago. Some of the trees are so big and so old and gnarly, covered with moss, and the snakes and the salamanders and all the wildlife, the bears. West Virginia has a bear season. they recently expanded the bear season because they say the bears are a problem now. Well, the reason the bears are a problem is because their habitat's being destroyed. They're being pushed down to where people are living, getting into people's trash cans when they have no food in their native area. And in West Virginia, the bear is the state animal. And to show you how much respect the state of West Virginia has for its state animal, prior to Christmas, outside Secretary of State's office in the Capitol, they had a Santa Claus hat and a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer blinking nose on a stuffed bear, which is very disrespectful. And so that shows you what our government thinks about its state animal and what it thinks about its people and its wildlife. All they want is the coal and the coal money that goes with it.
The rape of the world. song, place of our birth. How can we stand aside? Watch the rape of the world.
Music from singer-songwriter Tracy Chapman off her CD, New Beginning. The name of the song was The Rape of the World. You were listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, program 4 of our series, Raping Appalachia, Mountain Justice Movement. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. I want to now share with you several comments from Appalachian Coalfield residents. The speakers you will hear were interviewed for the Falling Mountain Music CD. This wonderful CD entitled Moving Mountains, Voices of Appalachia, Rise Up Against Mountaintop Removal Coal Mining was produced from a 2004 Mountain Justice Benefit.
My name's Joe Barnett. I live in Ardy, West Virginia. I live up in the head of a little hollow that has been affected by mountaintop removal in a very adverse way. The coal company came in initially and said they were going to do a little strip mining and that wouldn't be any harm to our community. So they got their permits and they came in and they started to cut timber and run off all the wildlife, and then they started their valley field, polluted our streams, killed off our fish. Basically, they came in and they raped our community. Then as a result of that, we got a flood that washed a lot of people's properties out, and they came in to repair the damage from the flood, and they cut our water supply off. And everything that we've got them to do, we've had to force them through a lawyer to do. I mean, it makes us feel like that we're second-class citizens. They also effectively turn neighbor against neighbor, family against family. It's really not only did they rape the mountains and the hollows, but they're splitting up the communities too. I've worked in the mine since 1974, but it was all underground mining. And this valley field mining that comes in, they first come in and they just cut down every tree in sight. It's called clear cutting. They just completely clean the mountainside off. And then they start dynamiting and shaking your homes up. And then once they blast the rock, they just start pushing it over in whatever valley is nearby. And they fill in stream beds. They run off game. Us country people like to dig ramps in the spring. We like to ginseng in the fall. They wipe out both of those. We deer hunt. We fish. That's no longer available to us. They've successfully destroyed our way of life in our communities, what they've really done. We have people in the community that's in their mid-80s, and in all their lives they've never seen floods in that hollow like this. And in 1997, the first flood that came of this was cost two people their lives in our community, a woman and a little boy. Then in the year 2001, we had three floods, and each one does its fair share of damage. And the company's not only successfully get away with this, the state will approve permits for them, and then the biggest insult to our community and our way of life is then the coal company goes public and calls it an act of God. Mm. And that infuriates me, because God didn't set those mountains and valleys there to be destroyed. A lot of times when they go before judges, if they can get judges to look at it from an industry point of view and call it big business and call it progress, then a lot of judges rule for them. Mm. And the common man don't always have much say in it. As far as the home goes, my home is 12 years old, and what the blast damage didn't mess up, the flooding's affected my land, and I couldn't sell my house now probably and get anything hardly out of it. We live in fear. It's the whole hollow now. It is just in a state of anxiety every time it storms. We've learned that they're permitted to start another strip down the other side of our hollow. So now we're going to have it behind us and in front of us. The way we gauge it when the ponds start to overrun onto the spillways, mm-hmm. we know that it's just a matter of time that the little streams is going to be full in the hollow. And so different ones of us just go up and check it regularly. Even in the middle of the night, some of us check it. We lost two. 34-year-old woman and a 15-year-old boy was stepping into their yard, and the little ditch in front of their yard to carry off, normally carried off a little bit of road water, had washed out to the extent that they didn't realize that the ditch had washed out. When they attempted to step across it, they were swept away and drowned. Didn't find them till the next day, right in front of her home. And I always like to say that every law that's been written on safety was signed with someone's blood, because it's always been through accidents that we get improvements in our laws. Apparently, the lawmakers in the state are swayed by lobbyists and special interest groups, and they come in and make big political contributions to candidates, and it's corruption at its highest level. I mean, that's what you would have to call it. But the common man, the working man, is not able to get out and go to the state house to all these meetings and try to lobby, because we're out trying to provide for our families. And these special interest groups come in and throw a little money around, and they pretty well get anything they want. It angers us, the working class, but, you know, we have trouble. We elect people into office that make us all kind of promises. I would like to see enforcement of the existing laws, and as we learn of new problems, for the law to envelop them in and enforce them. If they continue to wash away and flood everyone, there's not going to be any people living in any of these hollows. West Virginia is going to become one giant strip mine. Any time that you come in and you destroy a stream and the fish in that stream and the animals in the mountains, you're affecting God's creation. And I don't like to see anything come in and do that. And not only is it affecting the animals, it's affecting God's people. If a common guy like myself goes out there and throws anything in the creek, DEP will fine me severely for it. But a big corporation can come in and cover up miles of streams, and they're permitted to do it. And it bothers me that the same law that holds me won't hold the coal companies.
Cecil Hager.
I'm Dave Doss.
Harry Seabock.
My opinion on mountaintop removal is that the state was bought off by the coal companies to do this type of mining because they didn't want to return it to its original contour. Massey stood up in New York at a stockholders meeting and said, next year it will be better. We don't pay no fines, no fees, no reclamation, no compensation, no black lung, no health care. So I don't give a damn if it's Massey, Peabody, I don't care who they are. I'm not talking about taking jobs. I'm talking about doing it responsibly and stop these valley fields. It's destroyed the woods. It's destroyed the streams. And I'll tell you what, a big fat oak is worth more than any damn lump of coal they got.
In some of the areas that I lived in, drink water right out of the stream, and it's just as fresh as any water you can find right now in a bottle. Right now, you can go look at that water. It's yellow. It's orange looking. It stays muddy.
When they write a permit for mountaintop removal, it will include every seam of coal from the top to the creek. So they take the whole mountain. And I don't care who they are, it's their coal, but it's our mountain.
Patty Seabock. I'm from Prenter, West Virginia. I've lived in this area my entire life, Boone County. I feel that mountaintop removal mining is definitely hurting the deep miners' jobs. It hurts the communities. It hurts the environment. It destroys our water. It destroys the wildlife habitat.
My name is Frieda Williams. I live in the big coal
River area, right on the Raleigh-Boone County line in West Virginia. I was born in a coal company house in a coal camp called Rumble, West Virginia. In the final stages, in one of the hearings, in a show cause hearing that we had, one of the coal company's experts stated that in the final stage, Brushy Fork would contain 7 billion gallons of slurry. And remember, this slurry has chemicals in it. It will be 950 feet from toe to top. Now, the New River Gorge Bridge is 867 feet. There is no emergency evacuation plan that the public is aware of. If and when Brushy Fork has a breakthrough, the devastation is going to be greater than anything that's ever happened in this state before.
I was born on this mountain. This is where I was raised. Then I went north to work the factories. I knew I'd come back someday. When I did, things were different. This land was run by massive gold. Taking tops off of the mountains, burying the streams below. And it's cold, dust-covered houses, rundown towns play a mournful tune. The land is gone, but once lived on, underneath the blackened moon. So where have all the jobs gone? It's lonely round here day and night. One machine can do what 50 men used to, and it can't organize or strike. The sign says coal keeps the lights on, and someone somewhere gets rich. Makes this land forsaken every time you flick the switch. And it's cold, dust-covered houses, rundown towns play a mournful tune. The land is gone, I once lived on, underneath the blackened moon. So I'm living on this mountain. This is where I'll probably die. Even if they mine the graveyard, this is where my soul will lie. Looking at all these flattened mountains, watching the topsoil turn to mud. But the soul of these mountains will be the fury of the flood. And it's cold, dust-covered houses, rundown towns play a mournful tune. The land is gone, but once lived on, underneath the blackened moon. And it's cold, dust-covered houses, rundown towns play a mournful tune. The land is gone, I once lived on, underneath the blackened moon. Underneath the blackened moon. Underneath the blackened moon.
Music! Acoustic from singer-songwriter Keith and Joan Pitzer from the Falling Mountain Music CD, 2004 Mountain Justice Benefit. I am speaking with Mr. Vernon Haltom, a spokesperson for Cold River Mountain Watch, who was here at the 2006 National Conference of Organized Resistance in Washington, D.C. NCORE is an annual anti-globalization youth summit. Vernon, I want to thank you for speaking with me on Wolf Mountain Radio. As you know, Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, is heard around the world on a number of different radio networks. I'm sure people listening to us in different countries are dealing with similar situations of energy and natural resource companies raping their communities. In my travels to different parts of the world, as well as my visits to many Native American reservations, I've seen numerous examples of logging and mining companies destroying the land. My last question, therefore, relates to the Mountain Justice Movement networking with other places or organizations who are also fighting mining companies. Is there any contact and sharing of information or support of other groups, say within North America or even internationally?
Yes, we're making bigger strides than that. Recently, we had my group, Cold River Mountain Watch, had a There's No Such Thing as Clean Coal letter, and over 70 groups internationally signed onto that. Several Goldman Prize winners cheer on each continent, each inhabited continent. One member receives the Goldman Prize for grassroots environmental activism. In 2003, one of our staff members, Julia Barnes, received that prize through her networks with people in South Africa, in Southeast Asia, and Europe. We have several people who have signed on to that internationally. Since the geography of Appalachia is somewhat unique, it's a little different in different parts of the world, but some of the same problems are the same.
Thank you. are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kedichi Native Center. Yat Kedichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kedichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kedichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kedichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kedichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kedichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kedichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kedichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kedichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kedichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kedichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kedichi's Kinonwatakwisin Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kedichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kedichi Native Center, write to Yat Kedichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kedichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakwisin, to all of our relations.
The music you heard prior to our Yat Kedichi Native Center program identification was a traditional song from the Andes Mountains, homeland of our indigenous brothers and sisters of the highlands in what's now called South America. The song was entitled Tigra Munchi from the band Malku off their CD Mirror of the Andes. I featured that song in order to remind everyone that ever since the conquistadors militarily took over ancient Incan peoples, native peoples of those Andes mountains have had to work in the mines in order to survive. Sacred mountains have been desecrated, first by the Spanish royalty, and now by those national and multinational mining companies in partnership with the region's government. Throughout Bolivia, Ecuador, and Peru, children as young as 12 to 14 years old have little choice but to work in the mines in order to help their families barely live, while the ruling class and foreign investors get richer and richer off the miners' labor. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. If you wish to find out more about the rape of Appalachia and help support the Mountain Justice Movement, please check out the following websites. Cold River Mountain Watch, www.crmw.net. Appalachian Voices, www.appvoices.org. Indigenous Environmental Network, www.ienearth.org. And as always, please visit Yat Kitishi Native Center's website, www.yatkitishi.org. Especially our links page will provide other organizations and information about Indigenous struggles in protecting Mother Earth. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio. We shall conclude today's broadcast with an honoring song from the Southern Cree Drum off their Kenyan record CD, Southern Cree, Thunder and Lightning Cree Powwow Songs. The name of the song is Wandering Spirit. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Wintakwasin, to all of our relations.